Well, for her, probably was not a good moment. I was so scared for her, honestly. No, the ball was quick and straight on the hair, so she's a super brave girl. So just
and she got a kiss from Rafael Nadal. I'm sure there's a few people in here that would appreciate that.
Have been one of the more scary moments that I had on the tennis court because the ball was straight on the head, no, and I had a terrible memory from Wimbledon long time ago, no. So just very happy that you are good, so you are very brave, so well done.
Hey, Rafael Nadal there, and that vision, of course, where he smashed that that shot and it hit the ball girl, but showing his class, Roger Rashid. Good morning to you again, mate.
Good morning. Yeah, he's all class, isn't he, Rafa? That was his number one concern there, and it would have rattled him a little bit because, you know, he's got a lot of respect for the game as a whole product and understands what it's like for ball kids who are probably, you know, really in awe of. I mean, imagine being a ball ball person when you're actually doing Rafa's match or Roger or Novak. I mean, it would be like you'd be trying to do your job, but also you just want to. You know, you'd want to say something to him. You just couldn't keep your eyes off him, if you know what I mean. It'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, Rog. Hey, what were your thoughts last night on Nick's performance? But I want to get your thoughts on that third set when it looked as though he was going to have a bit of a meltdown and lose the plot, but he got himself together and was able to finish off strong in that fourth set.
Yeah, it was probably the first signs we saw where, you know, he took his focus off playing the opponent, and then, you know, and look, he admitted it. I think in his press conference he said he didn't act the right way, and he apologised to his team, and so that was a tick there, wasn't it? I mean, you know, acknowledging that and it got him into trouble, and but the beauty of it was that he came out, he was in full control. I mean, it was, you know, it was two sets where it was all about what was happening on his side of the court. Jill Simon went out there with a game plan. Boys were hitting the ball, just keeping the ball in play, trying to extend the rallies if he could as much as possible by playing sort of off-pace shots through the middle of the court, not threatening with his balls down the line and taking that on. So hoping that with the extension of those rallies that he would come out on top, and then if he did come out on top, that would cause a little bit of frustration. Well, the numbers weren't looking that way. It was very much lopsided. Nick was actually winning the extended rallies. And so it actually caused him a little bit more pain, and obviously the quicker points were handed to Nick as well because he was in really good control. Once that sort of pendulum started to shift and there was a little bit of you know, he took his eyes off the prize really as far as just playing between the lines, and there was a little bit of frustration. The extended rallies then were going the other way, and Simon was getting what he was looking for, and you know, then it became a real battle, and then Simon started using the line. So the game really shifted, and to Nick's credit, he actually he got everything together again, and then at the back end of that fourth, he was able to, you know, through the middle of the fourth, back end of it, he was able to lock in and get the job done. So it was pretty. That was an impressive turnaround because that could have got rather nasty and leaked into a fifth set.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I went to bed after that third set, and I went to bed, I must admit, thinking, I think he's gone here. And I think a lot of people thought that. Is that a sign that he may be starting to mature and turn it around, or does he need to do it a few more times when he has that bit of a lull in his game before we see?
Yeah, look, it's hard to beat Nick over three straight sets anyway, just with the serve as well, because, you know, he can actually come out. I mean, he was serving so well in the first couple of sets that his accuracy and his, you know, it's virtually impossible to play him on his service game. So, you know, he could actually get out there and actually survive through his serve at times and actually then find a way to get you because he's so dangerous. So going to bed that way, that was interesting that you went to bed after that third set. What, were you too tired?
I was tired, Roger, and I just thought, you know what? Yeah. He's going to lose it here. I don't want to see. Well, I've defended him on the program, and I'm thinking everyone's going to give it to me tomorrow.
No, look, and I think the last part of your question is 100%. I think you need some longer term data, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, so you look at it in 3 months, 6 months, see what that sort of looks like, and when it's away from home and it's not your fan base. I always say that once we grow our passport to the Australians, you know, who are lucky enough to play in a Grand Slam, like some three other nations, for those players. Once you grab your passport and you jump on a plane, that's the information I'm looking for, and see what happens when you're in other countries, not on the big course, not with the big crowds that are all going for you, because that's a lot of energy going your way. If you, I'm sure you got, yep. Laurie, playing at home, it's a different beast.
I tell you what, I know Popperin went through in straight sets, but I just want to touch on the Bolt, your man from Adelaide. I tell you what, or Murray Bridge, even though he went down, he can be very proud of his match against Dominic Thiem, can't he?
Yeah, Popham, I thought he'd get through comfortably. I expected him to get through in three sets. And Bolte was very good. I mean, had real opportunities. I mean, Dominic Thiem, you'd have to ask him what happened to those couple of sets for him. But I think Bolte, what he showed was, he does have weapons. He's got legitimate firepower in his forehand side. It's a really world-class shot, his forehand. He serves pretty good, and he's a strong kid. And it's just, can you play point to point? And actually, his variables are a little bit too wide for mine. So what happens when things aren't going his way and he's misfiring? That sort of the differential between his average and his best is such a wide range that they need to rein that in. And so there's some pretty easy ways to do that. They've got to identify that themselves and his coaching staff. But and then he's got a really good product, and he put Dominic Thiem under pressure. Real quality from Thiem, though, that to win the back end sets as comfortably as he did as well, because that was that's pressure, but it also signals to me that there's a little bit of a concern in Dominic Thiem. He's actually gone out in some majors in first and second rounds like that, doing this, playing that type of tennis where it's a bit hit and miss, and that's a little bit of concern on the hard courts.
What about Johnny Millman, mate? Can he repeat that performance of the US Open when he beat Federer?
Well, You can when you, I mean, it'd be a hell of an effort, wouldn't it? And why not? I mean, you can once you get on the court. That's why we sort of tie the laces up every morning. We believe in the competition that we can get a result. So, and he's done that, and he knows that he can stay out there and play. A couple of differentials there. Roger was, Roger in that match, it was interesting. It was the first year of the roof. It was the humidity inside that court was, it was off the charts for all the players and also the fans in there. And Roger, for the first time, I'd never seen him, literally his shirt was drenched. When you watch Roger, just take a look and see how often you see his, in any matches that he plays, whether he's actually, he's got that heavy perspiration. Well, that never really happens for Roger, but he was saturated through, and so he was dehydrated. He got dehydrated. And so I'm not sure whether we're going to get that type of tennis, because he's got a night session. And then, so that was part of the winning formula, and also Johnny Millman playing outstanding tennis and offering a contest. He's going to offer the contest. I'm sure he's going to play a higher level of tennis, but you would just think that if Roger brings game A, it's very hard to get him at game A over five sets. So, but it will be a telling contest for Roger, because Johnny Millman makes you play a lot of balls. He's confident in staying out there. He's fit. Got really good energy on the court here at home, and so it's going to be quite an interesting watch. There's no doubt.
Ash Barty's in action today, 11 o'clock. Rybakina, she takes on. She's short, mate, $1.25 head to head. Rybakina at $4. Is this an easy match, or is this going to be a little bit difficult for Ash?
Well, she's a 29th seed, so she's got a little bit of form. Her opponent from Kazakhstan, and so there's that on her side, that she's won three titles, so she knows how to get through. And win some key moments. Her Achilles heel is, this is only her third major. She's only into the Grand Slam or the major format last year in 2019. Had a couple of first round losses, so this is the furthest she's got. She plays Ash at home. It's interesting. Ash is wanting to play. I think she may. I'm not sure if she has to play doubles. She played doubles yesterday, so she's got singles and doubles duties as well. Ash. So it'll be interesting to see how long that actually goes for, and whether if she still continues in the doubles and she's still in the singles, whether she does pull out of that, because there's a physicality attached to that, especially when you're trying to get to the back end of majors. But this is not going to be a worrying tennis match, I don't think, because, the 20-year-old, that's a big ask for her to step out on the court and be the number one player in the world in her hometown. And, she can play freely and do so, but I like where Ash has gone, and I think Ash will continue. It's a beautiful day out here today. It's looking like the weather's it's going to be pretty perfect for the players. There's not a lot of wind in the air, sun's out. So the conditions should be pretty quick, which I think will suit Ash off with her ball off the ground as well.
Roger, I don't have social media. I don't have Instagram, but I must admit I did a little bit of Roger Rashid Instagram stalking yesterday. I looked at a lot of your posts. Well, mate, geez, you got some celebrities on board. Oh, there's photos of you there with the shark, Boris. You're looking fit. Mate, who are you going to put on next? Who's the next sort of celebrities we can see you with?
No, the biggest celebrity that I'm aware of is my daughter. So she's number one. So you would have seen a few back there with her, but now she's 13. She's like, Dad, you're not posting anything. So I've been totally wiped out.
You've been brushed.
Oh yeah, I take a photo. I said, sweetheart, that's cute. She goes, no, that's not going up. And I said, why not? She said, oh, my mates at school Photoshop it, they shop it, and then they put their quotes on it and they send it to me. So I said, what? They said, they think you're a loser, Dad. And I said, fair enough.
Sounds like my daughters.
Yeah, exactly. They're good. They tell you that they're honest, aren't they? Oh. They're the real, they don't have a filter and they give it to you, which I like.
But, well, along those lines of social media and not having a filter, I was going to ask this yesterday, I'll ask you today. Do you kiss and make up with Nick Kyrgios, because he gave you a bit of a spray at the Adelaide International when about your commentary of another player. Do you sort of say to him when you walk past in the locker room, "Hey, mate, come on, what's doing there?" Or is it all just a bit of fun and banter?
No, I think that's a bit of banter. When you're an adult, you get on with it. I think I pretty well stay in my lane of what I'm interested in. To doing and not interested in doing. That was a bit of banter. I'm all cool with that.
You know? Yeah.
People want to have some comments. I mean, I think that's what social media is about. It's interesting. I spent a lot of time with athletes and talking to them about social media and the impact of these, you know, really high-end athletes. And I've always said to them, if you don't like a comment, you just delete the person and keep deleting the people that if you're not interested, if you want to look at your social media and you don't, that you, there's an ex, you know, I think it's an excuse when they say, oh, they're, you know, people write things about me or they're affected by it. Well, you can just delete people, and actually before you know it, you've actually filtered everything out to where that those type of people are never engaged in your social media. And so I think you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, the young kid on the block, young athletes now spend a lot of time looking at it. And there's got to be, you know, they got to filter that sort of stuff out themselves. So no, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty lucky to have a few good people I can bump into, talk to, and Laurie, it's not bad when you can pick up the phone and have a chat to some of these guys as well, and you know they can give you some great insight of what they did at the time at that absolute pinnacle of their careers. And I think that's something that I couldn't do and get access to. So I've had to do it as a coach, and it's been fascinating.
Mate, put the aviators on. Go and enjoy Australia Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Same to you, boys. Beautiful.